Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Hey guys, before we get into this episode, I just want to take a moment to thank everyone who is still with me on Patreon. I know we lost a couple of you guys, BJ and Brody. Sorry to see you guys go. I hope it wasn't anything I said or did. But in the meantime, want to just again thank everyone else who's still with me, including, let's see, who do we got here? Including Anthony Mackey, Metal Dan. Metal Dan, I got your messages. We're going to play them soon. Fred Roots, James Bennett, Jay Vaninsky, JB Allen, Jean Francoise. I'm not sure about your last name. Jans. I think it's Jans Jacobson. You're in Sweden. It's Sweden, right? Yeah. Thank you for your support, man. I sent you a t-shirt. Hope you got it. John Biviori, Michael Street. Michael, did you make it out to the Rockin' Pod this year? I know we had dinner there last year. I'm wondering if you got back there this year. Heard Michael Butler was there. Mike Jones, thank you for your, all you've done for us. Mr. David S. Gray, you rock. I appreciate it. Ralph Petrie, Rick Bunch, Sean Morgan, Steve Hoker, and we just had Ron Keel. Ron Keel, one of my favorite rock stars. He is supporting us on Patreon. That is awesome. Ron has his own Patreon page going that you guys should check out. He's doing some podcasting, giving away a lot of cool things, including his book read by him, like the audiobook version, which I'm really into audiobooks, so I got to figure out how to get that. I guess I can get it if I donate $9.99 a month to Ron Keel on Patreon. There you go. Cool. You guys rock. And again, so sorry to see BJ and Brody leave us, but yeah, that's about it for now. Let's get into this great episode with James Kotek and Lee Aaron.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Here's an old classic that sounds just as good today as it did when we were kids. We'll be right back.
All right, a little Kingdom Come. Wow, that's a classic, right? Get It On. Featuring James Kotek on the drums. He is one of our two guests today. We're going to talk with James, who I love, such an awesome guy. Former drummer, of course, of the Scorpions for like 20-some years. He was in the Scorps. And great guy with quite a history. I used to love seeing him on the TV show. What was it? The Ex-Wives of Rock TV show. He was on there with his ex-wife, Athena, who is Tommy Lee's sister. Anyways, Kotek, always so great to talk with him. And he's got such a great history. I love his work on that Ultraphobic record by Warrant. Remember that one? Anyways, he's here to talk Kingdom Come with us today. And joining him is Keith St. John, a great vocalist who is now the vocalist in Kingdom Come. I was only expecting to talk with James, and he was in the studio, which you'll hear, and suddenly he threw a few other people into the interview, including, I think, a guy named Brent who was there, and Keith St. John. So it was good to meet Keith and talk with Keith, and we get an update basically on Kingdom Come from Keith and James. So stay tuned for that. We're also going to hear from Emily Striegel and her interview with Lee Aaron, the Metal Queen, that took place at Heavy Montreal. So stay tuned for both of those interviews. But right now, let's get into some calls from you guys, the listeners.
Hey, Mark, it's Mike from Boston. Hey.
Hey, Mike.
I just listened to your interview, your short and uninformative interview with Magnus from Witchcraft. What is up with that guy? What does he think? He's Jimmy Page or something? Anyway, pretty boring. Bye.
Hey, Mike, thanks for your call. I actually got a kick out of that interview. You know, we had some technical issues when we went back to talk with him, but and it was weird because he didn't say much, but he wasn't as big of a jerk as somebody like Jizzy Pearl or Fieldy from Korn. But yeah, it was definitely an uninformative interview, to say the least, right? Here's another call.
Mark, this is Jerry from Long Island. You guys are probably up at Heavy Montreal today. This is Sunday, the 29th of July. I'm at Jones Beach Theater on Long Island. I'm about to go inside to see Testament and Slayer. Go ahead and play Testament to Fletcher Crown. And I guess I'll see you in December at the Ghost Show. Up the Ghost.
You bet, Jerry. And thanks for calling us. I'm playing these messages out of order. Obviously, Mike from Boston, his message probably came in after Jerry's. And yeah, well, Jerry, we were up at Heavy Montreal. It's so awesome you called us from the concert you were going to. I'm sure you enjoyed it, and I can't wait to see you at Ghost. Here's a little Testament.
Here we go, the people show, victims of tomorrow. The way it goes, it never shows, when deadness or sorrow. There is nothing left inside, nothing left to cry for. That I must die for. So alone, the way it goes, the life that you have wasted, it never
Jerry, good to hear from you. I always appreciate your support. Let's go to another call.
Hey, it's Metal Dan on Patreon.
Metal Dan.
And the Twitter feed. Hey, calling in about Ryan Roxy and Alice Cooper.
Right, right. Oh, shit. Dan, I don't know what happened to your message. It got cut off, These messages, man, this call recorder thing, I'm paying like $150 for this thing, and half the people, their messages get cut off. Not many people call in. You know, I look at my download numbers, I get like 2,000 an episode, which is great. Doesn't mean that everyone listens to the episode they download, but yeah, that's not bad. I'm happy with that. But I can't get any of you dudes to call in. It's the same people over and over again. Jerry, you're amazing. You know, we had Leo from Alaska. There's the regulars, but it's just not worth $150. So I'm not going to renew it for the year. And we're kind of done with that particular phone line, guys. Metal Dan, I'm sorry you got cut off. The service that this company was providing me has been real questionable too. So I don't blame you guys for not calling, especially when you call and you get cut off like poor Metal Dan there. I don't know what you were going to say about Ryan Roxy, Metal Dan, from Alice's band, but he's great. I've met him. Nice dude. I'd love to interview him. And yeah, let's hear some music by Ryan Roxy, known for his work with Alice Cooper, as well as just dozens of other people and bands and projects. This is Over and Done by Ryan Roxy.
put me through. I can't eat, can't sleep, don't wanna repeat all the things that seem to beat me up and down this broken boulevard. I want some answers, but you wanna run. I need to shut this whole thing down just to know.
Done by Ryan Roxy from Alice Cooper's band. Sorry, Metal Danny got cut off. I would have loved to have heard what you were going to say about Ryan from Alice's band. I enjoy your tweets, and thanks for your support, dude, on Patreon. I wish we could get more people on Patreon. I don't know why we can't get more than 19 people, but we're stuck at 19. Number 20, come on. Donate to Patreon with a monthly pledge. I'll send you out a Talking Metal t-shirt. All right, cool. Let's hit another message here, another phone message from the audience.
Hey, Mark. Mike Powers from Boston calling.
Hey,
as well.
Mike,
hey,
again.
I've got two questions for you, and then I've got a comment, and I wanted your thoughts on the comment as well. So the two questions are, what are your impressions of Hellstar from Houston?
Right.
And Agent Steel from California. They were two of my favorite metal bands in the 80s, and I'd never heard you talk about them, so I wanted to know what you think about them. Also, the other
question
is, do you ever get up to Boston? If you do, let's have a beer.
Ooh, I'd love to get up there.
The comment I have is, I think that Baroness Purple, while it may not be classic quote-unquote metal, I think it's a genius album, one of my favorites of all time, so I wanted to get your opinion on that. Keep up the good work, brother. Later.
Thanks for your message, Mike. Yeah, go back and listen to episode 751. We talk about Hellstar with James Rivera from Hellstar on that episode about 22 episodes ago, not that long ago. It's a great interview. I like James. I love his voice. I love the stuff he's done with Hellstar and Seven Witches. And he's just a really great dude. And I enjoyed that interview. So to answer your question, never been like a diehard Hellstar fan, but I've always been aware of them and I've always liked everything that I've heard by them. So there you go. And please listen to that interview with James, because it's a great one, and was on a recent episode, 751. Agent Steel, I also played on a recent episode. I was really into that first Agent Steel record. What was it called? Skeptics Apocalypse or something. It was out on Combat. I got that in like 1985 when it came out. It was at that time, I think, I don't even know if we called it thrash at that time. It was more like considered speed metal. Today, I might consider it thrash. Great, great band or great album. You know, I didn't really follow their career much beyond that first record, but loved Agent Steel and some of the stuff they had on that first record, like the song Agents of Steel was great. I mean, I know I played that on a recent Talking Metal episode. I think back in May, actually, if you go through, I talk about Agent Steel and I play Agents of Steel back in, I think it was May of this year. So there you go, Mike. And yeah, Baroness, a band I don't know a ton about. Again, you're stumping me here a little bit. The Purple record, I like what I hear. There was a song called Shock Me on there. I had it on one of my playlists on Spotify for a while and dug that song a lot. So I need to dive deeper into the Purple record by Baroness, a band that was up at Heavy Montreal this summer. So, yeah, thanks for the tip, and let's hear some Baroness right now on Talking Metal. Let's get into a little Kingdom Come. This is Living Out of Touch by Kingdom Come, followed by my interview with James and Keith from Kingdom Come. Yeah.
Keisha John.
Cool.
I know, it's like really, really, really cool. We're at the studio. And, I'm partners with my friend Bruce. We have a studio down the street, and hello.
Hello, hey, Mark? Yes, can you hear me?
Hey, say hello to Keith and John.
Oh, hey, man. Hey, Keith, how are you? So nice to meet you.
Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Not much, man. Well, I'm excited that you are a part of this this Kingdom Come reunion, if you will, and just totally psyched to hear what you guys are up to. It sounds like you're doing some new music.
Yeah, best thing that ever happened to me in my life, man. No, we're going nuts back here and really having a fun time with these songs. It's not like learning stuff that's big hits and just, you know, getting it into your psyche and getting together the cats that really have all that juice from, you know, that everybody loved from back then. So, yeah, it's great, man. We're having a lot of fun.
Cool.
Hey, man, Mark, yes. I wanted to also introduce you to our friend who's playing guitar on the Keith St. John tracks. I'm doing drums for him. And here he is.
Hey, how's it going, man? I'm Brent Barker. Nice to meet you, man.
Hey, Brent
Barker. Brent's playing guitar in the Keith St. John, and I'm here, and I'm blowing down some drums, and dude, he's killing it on guitar, but we're going to talk about Kingdom Come.
Yeah,
and
so
thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you bet, but just to, so you're in the studio with Keith, but you're not doing, like, new Kingdom Come music, you're doing music
we record, like, about 13, 14 Kingdom Come tracks, so we could go back and revisit them, because Keith is a stickler, and Keith is Keith. Like, to know him is to love him. He's like you've got to know him to love him, because he's a lead singer, and he's, like, really, what's the word? OCD?
LSD, man.
LSD and OCD. Keith is on it, man.
Right.
And he's kicking my ass, because I'd much rather be at home right now watching baseball.
Right.
What I said was, guys, you know, this is going to feel like a real tour. We got to do what you guys did. First, we got to record the two albums, you know, in a week, and then we'll take it on the road to make it feel right.
Right on. So you are in the studio, and you're kind of just recording some of those old classics to make sure that
we did it. We really got to get a feel for what it's going to sound like live, and, you know, naturally, arrangements have got to be adjusted for live stuff. For hits and videos, things were probably edited back when, and, you know, now the band can stretch out more. And then, you know, maybe on some of the tracks that ain't everybody's favorite, that we can actually, you know, condense them down a little bit. And,
right.
And this way we can just really own them when we get up there and have a lot of fun with them. And I think it'll really show when we go and play live that, you know, we're inside these tracks so much, it'll feel like we've been playing them for 10 years, so.
And these recordings, these recordings that you're doing, is strictly just for your own personal use. This isn't something you would be releasing at some point.
No one's going to hear this except us. Although it sounds magnificent. I mean, if we could do something with it, we would. But I don't think that makes sense. But in the midst of doing all that, I've got, you know, one of the most kick-ass drummers on the planet here. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm working on my own stuff with Brent right now, the Keith St. James stuff. And James is like, I mean, playing on that. And so I'm like, yeah, man, so that's what we're doing today. We're just blowing through some of my KSJ tracks, which are sounding amazing. We're on the first one.
It's some killer stuff.
It's nuts, man. It sounds really good.
If somebody would show up.
So, yeah, you'll be hearing from this band too sometime soon. So I'm putting things in a row for that. And I hope James will have the time in between everything he's doing to be in the band. So that's what we're working on right now.
Cool. Well, so, I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, man. But, you know, as far as Kingdom Come stuff goes, Kenny Stagg and JB Frank just arrived in town early. They just called us. They're about 2 hours out of town. And they're coming in from Palm Springs, actually. And that's a total surprise. So this is kind of a crazy kismet day with all this stuff going crazy. And, we'll be seeing those guys pretty soon, and unexpectedly, albeit, and get the party rolling.
Cool. And it is going to be a party, the 30-year anniversary of that classic self-titled Kingdom Come record that, you know, James's drums were just such a massive part of. I mean, songs like Pushing Hard, you just hear that intro drum beat. Of course, Get It On, the you know, just what's now just a total classic song. James, when memories of recording that record and going into the studio and laying down those tracks. I mean, this, you guys kind of, it was your first record, but it was pretty high profile stuff. I mean, Bob Rock, you guys were recording at Little Mountain Sound in Vancouver, which, you know, all the biggies were recording at. And just maybe some memories of that time of the band coming together and heading into the studio to do that, that classic album. Could you share some?
Man, I'll tell you what, Mark. I'll tell you, Mark. It was like a dream come true because I've been in bands over the years, and I toured North America so many times over for like 10 years. But the Kingdom Come, when we went in with Bob Rock, this was his first album that he produced. He was Bruce Fairbairn's sidekick for years.
Right.
And then he, all of a sudden, Kingdom Come. And you know what? The album shipped over 700,000 copies overnight, and we were like blown away. We were in the UK and Europe when the album shipped, and then we shipped gold. Like, go figure. We're still the number one band that shipped gold. And but Bob Rock kicked my ass, and he was of course the Baileys, and he just kicked my ass, man. And then I met Tommy Lee on July 24th. Down at what's the name of that place, the big place, LA Coliseum. And Tommy came back with Heather, and he goes, man, you gotta go meet my sister. He goes, you'd be perfect for it. I went and met Athena that night.
Right.
We were partners for 20 plus years.
Wow.
But the next step, Bob Rock produced Dr. Phil, which was after the Kingdom Come. And Bob Rock went on, of course, to do all the Metallica albums, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like really blown away and really thankful and grateful that I was involved and somehow made that those albums happen in a really crazy sort of way. And it's like really nuts. We're going back to our roots. And you know what? Hey, I'm going to see Klaus and Rudolph and Matthias on September 1st.
Nice.
I'm going down to the hotel and meet with them because we're still very good friends and we're family, man. And nothing is broken between us because I left amicably. And it's like really, really wonderful to be able to go back and see my eyes. And it's just wonderful. And I just want to put that in there because there's no animosity with the Kingdom Comes or with the Scorpions or anything. And I'm very thankful and grateful that I was part of that situation for 21 years.
Yeah.
And here we are. And I'm going to go down with some guys next week. And, you know, it's like life is wonderful. And I get to go back and do Kingdom Come and things are great.
Cool. And again, you guys are heading out on tour to celebrate this 30-year anniversary of that just fantastic self-titled album that came out in 1988. And essentially, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the original band minus Lenny plus Keith, right?
Yes, we have Rick Steyer on guitar. We have Danny Stagg on guitar. We have Andy Frank on bass. We have James Kotak on drums, what is so wonderful, we have Keith St. John, the ultimate badass vocalist from hell, and he's going to be, he is straight from hell, and he's on vocals, and you know what, I love Lenny Wolf to death, but he did not want to participate, he was, he's in Hamburg, and he has his boat, and he was just like, not do it, and I'm actually really bummed out, but I'm so thankful and lucky and fortunate to have Keith St. John on board. And this guy's kicking our ass. So there you have it.
That's awesome to hear. And, you know, it's like nowadays there's so many bands out there that they don't have all the original members. I mean, hell, I just saw Foreigner recently, and it was just, you know, just Mick. He was the only guy, and they were so good.
Mick Jones is not even out on tour with them most of the time.
Yeah, he was when I saw him recently, but you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, but I love Jeff, my alter ego, and all the guys in the band are so phenomenal. But things change. Life changes, man. But we have to celebrate rock and roll. We have to do what we do. We have to go out, and we have to kick ass. And we have, like, there's going to be a day very soon when AC/DC, Scorpions, et cetera, goes away. I'm sure Kiss will have replacement parts, but we're like looking at an era here, you know, because hard rock will never die. It's gonna stay, and because of people like you, Mark, I really appreciate your time and your energy, and thank you so much. And Keith is playing guitar and distracting me.
I can hear something going on in the bank. Keith, so how did this all come about? When did you get the call from, I'm assuming, James, to, hey, do you want to do this 30-year anniversary tour with us?
Yeah, well, we see each other on occasion, you know, just because we're both from L.A. and we both, you know, play in bands and, you know, do some touring stuff and whatever and studio stuff. So I don't remember exactly where we were last fall when James kind of put that whole thing in my head. You know, he had this brainchild of maybe doing Kingdom Come again, and, you know, maybe Lenny wasn't going to be doing it. And then when we really solidified the possibility was when James came down and he played at this concert I produce every year at the NAMM convention for the last 2 years, called Ronnie Montrose Remembered. Ronnie Montrose Remembered actually started 4 years after Ronnie passed, because I felt that we needed a real memorial for Ronnie Montrose. And I was in the band Montrose for like 13 years. So,
right.
So a lot of really guitar players came down to the first one. You know, guys from like Aerosmith and Night Ranger and Guns N' Roses and everybody else. And it was a really great part for Ronnie. And I continued doing it because he wanted to keep doing it. And then so I just opened the doors up to other people, drummers and bass players that I knew, guys who just wanted to play. And this past year, James came down and kicked everybody's ass and played the Montrose tunes with us from the first record. I think he played Rock the Nation and something else, and just, it was nuts. And after he got done doing that, I asked him about the Kingdom Come thing, and he said, yeah, I really still want to do it. And we had a longer powwow about it. And, you know, I talked with him about, you know, you really got to make sure that the original singer in the band doesn't want to do it, because I've been down this road before. You know, if we start hyping this up and getting things going, you know, and you want to use the name, there's a lot of things you have to do and ducks you have to get in a row before you can come out and announce another guy singing in this band, you know, that had this, you know, really great singer with a strong presence that, you know, everybody's familiar with from back then. You know, it's not the easiest thing to do when you're a vocalist, replace another vocalist. It's a pretty strong move, you know, for a band that people are fans of and familiar with. So James went through all the diligence. Lenny, you know, he took a long think about it. He didn't want to do it. And then, you know, they worked out the legalities of them doing it and moving on, and him just giving them his blessing. And at that point I was like, okay, now we're ready. Let's start planning it. And that's pretty much it, man.
Right.
I was looking at this year going, you know, it's funny, cause I don't really have any kind of a touring schedule going, you know, even in the summer and the late fall, I was pretty wide open. So the timing couldn't have been more perfect. And that whole deal.
So when do you guys hit the road?
You know, and another thing for me that I got to say is, I get asked to do these types of things from different bands, you know, especially out of LA. There's a lot of bands from that same era that were in the mid to late 80s that were really hot back then, you know, in the MTV days doing stuff. And sometimes I get asked to go out, and a lot of people have seen me with, you know, different versions of whatever that I won't name right now. But for me nowadays, now that I'm kind of into my whatever it is, want to call this mid-age and whatever, I don't really want to do anything that isn't really me. Like, with this music and this band, I can just be myself, and it's just my own style just kind of works for their music. And that's really the main thing that makes it work for me, is that,
cool,
you know, I can just go out and be AFJ, and it just kind of works out that my styling and Lenny Wolf's styling are both kind of like the other side of the same coin. So...
nice.
There you have it. I more awesome. Than answered your question. I apologize.
Right on. And can you fill the listeners in on when the tour is starting up, when we can expect you to get out on the road?
Yeah, we take off. We're all fly up to Seattle the night before the first gig. The first gig's the 27th of September up in Seattle. And then we come down. We do a string of dates kind of on the West Coast before we start blowing east. If you go to www.kingdomcomeband.com, I believe the dates are listed there now.
Yeah, I was just looking through them. I'm hoping you add. I'd love a New York City show or New Jersey show. I know you're up, I think, in New York State, but I didn't see any quite in my neighborhood.
We'll see if something gets added. I would, you know, none of us in the band have really been working on. The dates and stuff, you know, because we're so busy just getting all the material back and rolling that we're kind of letting management and the agency just handle all that stuff. But I am a little surprised when we're playing it somewhere like, you know, the Gramercy or whatnot in NYC. So I definitely, if and when we can, and maybe it won't even happen until we get going on the road, I hope we can add New York City to whatever we got.
That would be great.
I know they were looking at Long Island.
Oh, Long Island, yeah, that would be cool too. I'd love to see you guys at like M3. I think Kingdom Come at M3 would really go over big, and that would be awesome, because all us fans always trek down there for that festival. That would be a great addition to the lineup for 2019.
Oh gosh, yeah. And since it's so fresh, it hasn't, you know, it just hasn't been in the scene. You know, no one's seen Kingdom Come, at least this U.S. version of it, with these original guys around in the U.S. for so many years. I think, you know, it would be a welcome addition, hopefully, to any of those, you know, kind of those festivals that feature these styles of bands, because, you know, I think all the fans have all condensed, you know, it's not so much, you know, these guys are only Quiet Riot fans, these guys are only L.A. Guns fans, these guys are only Kingdom Come or Skid Row fans. They're all kind of one big group of fans of that era now, and I think they'd really love to see this band. So,
absolutely.
But we really wanted to do this on the ground kind of little theater and club tour just to get our. Oh, James has had me walk on his back right now. Hold on, I'm going to take these shoes off while I'm talking to you. Oh, you hear that?
Yeah.
That's me walking on James' back. Wow.
Oh, this is great.
Is this? Oh, I feel like I'm killing him.
Oh. Oh.
Wow, something cracked. Shoot, man. Is that good?
No, Mark.
Did you hear that?
No, I, what did he say?
James is thanking you for your patience and for the interview.
Oh, you bet. Well, I know you guys are rehearsing, so I don't want to take up too much of your time. I did want to ask James just one last question, since we are talking about Kingdom Come. I don't know if he can. Can James hear me right now?
Okay.
All right, I'm putting the phone down.
Hey James, like when Kingdom Come came out, I mean, like you said, I mean, it like shipped gold. People were going crazy. You guys were on the Monsters of Rock tour, and you guys blew up big. The fans all loved you guys, but there was a portion of like the New York elite rock critics who weren't really into you guys and were pointing that you sounded too much like Zeppelin. And I just find it ironic. Here we are 30 years later and Greta Van Fleet is out and they're like celebrated by that same kind of group. It's odd.
No, they're awesome. They're like, are you kidding? This is like, and they've mentioned Keenum so many times in their interviews and I'm so flattered about that.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, it's better to be compared to the and to the huge-ass Led Zeppelin monarchy.
And just compared to a huge ass.
Yes, but I'll tell you what, honestly, I was always thrilled to death. Unfortunately, we had a lead singer in our band that just did all those comparisons. And I said, you're wrong. I said, man, if I'm going to be compared to a certain drummer or a certain band from somewhere, from especially to Led Zeppelin. Like, are you joking? I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. And that's, like, so wonderful.
The answer is we're worked really hard to make it sound way more like Led Zeppelin than it did back then. That's what we're doing right
okay,
now.
Okay, cool.
And in Keith St. John's voice, we're there, man. Whatever Keith St. John says, I'm there. Dude, we are like on the warpath of playing Kingdom Come. And then, you know what? We're going to probably surprise a lot of people. And we're going to play some Montrose. We're going to play some Zeppelin. We're going to play a little bit of this and that. It's going to be so fun, dude.
Cool. I cannot wait. And that makes sense because you had a little history with Montrose too, right, James?
Well, I played on the Montrose Mean album in 1985, I think, in 86.
Wow. Okay.
And Keith was a singer for Montrose.
Right.
I mean, for 12 years, this guy was the guy, man, dude. He was the singer for Montrose.
So like, you wrote some of those songs, too.
I did write some of those songs. Right. But I'll tell you what, man, Keith St. John was the singer. And that alone in itself, if you're the singer for Montrose, you're the singer for me. And you're the badass MF-er. Dude, what more do you want? It's like, what a package deal. But like, are you joking?
Yeah.
Big leg woman ain't got no soul.
There you go. Cool.
I think critics are always, to answer my opinion of your question, my humble opinion as a side guy of those East Coast critics and stuff, don't they pretty much kind of like those same critics are just kind of trying to take the dark side of the coin on, you know, that everything they're talking about mostly, right?
Yeah, I think there's some of that, yeah.
If the worst thing you can talk about is that, oh, you know, these guys are feeling stuff or sounding like, you know, this other gigantic, iconic band, I guess that's not too bad.
Right. No, absolutely not.
You know?
Absolutely not. Well, guys, I really wish you the best of luck with this. I'm totally excited that Kingdom Come is back, playing some of my favorite music off that first and second album, right?
Yeah,
man. Both records.
Cool.
You got to look at it like, oh, it's the 30th anniversary of, you know, this version of the band, because this version of the band with Danny and JB and Rick and James, they did two records back to back. I think what, James, 1 year right after the other?
Yeah.
Like right then. And that was it. That incarnation of the band hasn't existed since then. So yeah, we're going to dig into both records. It wouldn't be fair to the second record not to.
Okay, Mark, really quick. I just wanted to say that I played drums on the ASJ, that's Keith St. John album. And we have Brent here in the studio. We're in the studio.
Brent Barker.
Hey, say Brent Barker.
Brent Barker, what's up, brother?
Hey,
yeah,
Brent.
We got Brent.
Brent's
and,
back.
I played drums on some stuff. So the Keith St. John crap is going to come out. I didn't mean to call it crap.
No, it's crap.
It is crap. Okay.
But we're going to whip it into something.
We're going to whip it into. But I'm very proud and very big to be associated with Keith.
Absolutely.
And all of his endeavors. I think he has a solo album coming out, and he's got some other stuff, and Brent Barker is involved. And it's very important to me that I expand my horizons. Of course, I have a new revenge with Kerry Kelly, Tim Ripper Owens, Rudy Sarzo, and we got that band going.
I love Rudy.
I know, Rudy's best. So, but truth, man, God, person, I look forward to seeing you down the road.
Absolutely.
You. Where are you?
I'm in New Jersey. I was saying earlier, we got to get a date in New Jersey.
We got New Jersey. It's John Bon Jovi.
Right on.
We got it. Hey, man, he's my friend. I can call him right now, and we'll have a great conversation. But,
That's awesome.
I want to invite you to where we're playing.
Please.
We're playing somewhere.
Yeah, I think there's like a Poughkeepsie, New York show or something, so maybe I can get up to that. Yeah, I gotta look at the dates again.
I mean,
yeah.
Jesus, let's go back to 1984. But you know what? Instead of having a night off...
Well, there's something near Philly. I'm closer.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Philly.
Yeah, okay. I could do Philly.
You know what? Instead of having a night off, me and Keith and Rick said, you know what? Screw this. We don't want a night off. We would much rather play... And if we have to open for Zebru, we'll do it.
Right,
and that's what we did. We agreed to that show. It's less money.
I love
it.
Guys, man.
I know. I love it. Put me on the door. Put me on the door. Put me on the door. Put me on the door.
Bueno Zebra, they made their fame where I grew up on Long Island, and they were
Long Island.
They were a Zeppelin cover band.
I know.
Before they got
started. I know that, Keith St. John.
Cool.
But I'll tell you this. The day Kingdom Come opens for Zebra, it's like, are you effing joking? But we will do what we have to do because I'd much rather open for some band than have a night off. Because
Right. Me,
Keith St. John, Rick Steyer, and the rest of the band, we want to work. We want to play 7 nights a week. And we don't want any nights off, brother.
Right on.
And I look forward to seeing you.
Absolutely.
And we can call it a day. It's a day.
Yeah, bye, absolutely. Brother. Well, thank you guys. Thanks for your time. And James, at some point we'll get you back on. I want to go through your just amazing history. There's just so much stuff to talk to you about, from Warren to Montrose to your long career with the Scorpions. But today we're just focusing on what's going on now, which is the 30th anniversary of that first Kingdom Come album. And the tour that's about to happen.
Well, Mark, that is so pleasurable of you. And I'll tell you what, man, I'm going to see Klaus and Rudolph and Matthias this coming Monday, Tuesday.
Cool.
Well, no, Saturday. And because we're all still good friends. And I look forward to meeting you in person. And thank you so much for your time. Your time and energy.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks a lot,
Thank
man.
You, bro.
Thanks, Keith. Thanks, Brent.
And I hope you see us too. And,
yes, I will. I'm gonna make it to one of the shows. Probably the Philly show. That's a good possibility.
Thank you so much. Brent Baker says hello.
No, Barker.
Barker, that's what's that.
You're Brent, the baker, dude.
Dude, I am the baker. Brent says hello. Keith St. John says hello. And thank you, Mark. I say hello. And thank you so much, very much, for your time and your convenience. And we will speak soon.
Absolutely. Reach out anytime, James.
Bye.
Okay. Take care, guys. Bye. Now it's the time that we'll give it to you. Slam off the beat until it's black and blue. The red interrupt till the morning light. Scream at the night just to feel alright. Do you like it? Do you like it? Don't want
Thanks to James Kotak for calling into Talking Metal. That song right there, Do You Like It? Classic Kingdom Come. You're going to get some classic Kingdom Come on this upcoming tour. I got to figure out, I mean, Kingdom Come and Zebra actually together sounds like a great bill. But unfortunately, they're not playing anywhere real. I mean, I'm in North Jersey, and the places they are playing are quite a hike for me. And yeah. But I'm hoping I can get to, I mean, Philly's far, Poughkeepsie's far, but it could be fun to see Kingdom Come and Zebra together. That actually is appealing to me. But maybe it'll be the Philly show. I'm not sure. I got to figure that out. So thanks to Keith and James Kotak, that is, former drummer of the Scorpions, and I guess I almost said former drummer Kingdom Come, but now he is once again the drummer of Kingdom Come. So, and really, you know, there's so many, you know, I know Lenny is not in it, but there's so many bands out there who are just still out there waving the flag. I mean, I saw Warrant, which was all the guys from the classic Warrant lineup, but with Robert Mason on vocals. I saw them recently at M3, and just so good. And I'm okay with these bands not having all the original guys anymore, because this is the end of the era, man. We gotta soak up what we can get from these guys, you know. And big props to James Kotak for bringing Kingdom Come back to us, the classic Kingdom Come. Alrighty, so what concerts do I got coming up? We're going to see Enough's Enough, Bullet Boys, Great White. Looking forward to that. Got Ozzy in less than two weeks, in like 9 days. Got Priest in like 5 days or something. So a lot of good concerts coming up. Deep Purple. Just saw Glenn Hughes in the city play a set of Deep Purple, and that was great. We got to hang out with him afterwards for like 20 minutes. He basically kicked everyone out of the backstage area except Emily and I, and hung with us for like a good 20 minutes with the door shut. It was so much fun. We got to hear all the stories we can't, you know, we wouldn't get on the podcast. So nothing too scandalous, more about just his issues with, and I mean, not his issues. It sounds like the guys in Deep Purple, I'm not going to name any names, have issues with him. And that's kind of sad to this day that they can't let that shit go. And we got the inside scoop on that. Sounds like he will be back in the New York area in 2019. So looking forward to seeing that. And he told us about that too, which I can't quite reveal at this point. But there you go. We're going to hear from Lee Aaron, the Metal Queen, who played up at Heavy Montreal. Emily did an interview with her up there. So I guess that's where we'll end today's show. So let's do that right now. I'll come back after the interview and talk. Here is classic Lee Aaron with Metal Queen here on Talking Metal, followed by Emily Striegel, my wife's interview with Lee Aaron at Heavy Montreal this past July. I think this one, it's either July 28th or 29th. I believe she played on the 29th, although I can't remember. So, I think this interview was recorded July 29th, 2018. Emily interviewing Lee Aaron. Thanks to Mitch LaFon for setting it up. Here we go. Some Lee Aaron, classic Lee Aaron music, followed by Emily's interview with Lee Aaron.
Oh, Hey guys, this is Emily Striegel from Talking Metal. I'm here with the Metal Queen, Lee Aaron. So nice to meet you.
Hey, nice to meet you too. It's an honor to be here today.
Killer set today. I know it was your first time at Heavy Montreal, which is crazy. As you said, you're Canadian, been doing this since 82, and this is your first time at Heavy Montreal. How did it feel to be at the premier Canadian festival today?
It was really, really cool, you know. I was saying to somebody earlier, I think maybe we're one of the only bands that could play Montreal jazz and blues and also do heavy Montreal, because stylistically we can swing in a couple of different ways. And so it was just, yeah, great honor to finally be invited here. And it was a great audience and a show. Hot, though. Hot up there.
Hot.
yeah.
in the sun. I always yeah. feel so bad because we can escape into the shade. You guys can't. You're just there.
Well, believe it or not, one of the weirdest things is on my black boots. Like when I was standing in the sun, and my feet were like frying. I was like, yipes. It was, but no, it was a great set.
Well, it didn't show. I didn't see a bead of sweat, and you just were killing it up there. And I love the velvet jacket.
Thank you.
Very, very cool. So, as you were saying, I mean, you are one of the few bands that are very versatile. You could play jazz, and you could play heavy Montreal. You're very versatile as a vocalist, and you've run the gamut. You've done jazz. You've done some classical stuff, right?
Have you done... I did one opera in my life, and it was so much work. It was a great experience for me to do it, but I'd have to think long and hard before I did another one. When the score arrived at my house, it was like thicker than a Bible, and it was baroque tuning, so it was all down a half step. So it was quite a complicated undertaking, but fun. I think if I did anything like that again, it would have to be a rock opera. So,
I think that would be amazing, and I'm amazed you are you're an excellent vocalist and very versatile. So, I want to talk a little bit about your release in 2016, which was Fire and Gasoline, and you were saying you wrote that with Sean, and this was kind of your return to rock after doing, this was your first full rock release in like 20 years or something. Tell me a little bit about that album and how that came about.
Well, mostly I'd just taken off time to have my children and raise our children. Some time and space opened up. I always knew I was going to make another rock record. I always knew that it was going to happen. It was just a matter of the right timing. And then Sean Kelly and I got connected through his book and subsequent companion CD and concert, Metal on Ice. And we just hit it off because he's a really smart guy. We had a lot in common. We had a lot of the same musical influences, and we just spoke the same language. So that one thing led to another, and we're like, we started writing, doing a little bit of writing together. And it was just, you know, you don't often come across writers that you really click with, and there's something magical. You have that kind of chemistry. I've done a lot of songwriting in my life and flown to LA and Nashville and all these places. And even years ago when I did that, the singles were always the ones that I wrote with John Albany on my early albums. And so I don't bother doing that. I don't go write with a million people. It's like you get a couple people you have chemistry with. And I've recently started writing with my bass player, Dave Reimer, as well. We wrote Diamond Baby together. And so what greater situation could I have than having, like, I have, like, all these gifted guys in my band. So it's like... Tickety-boo, this, like, complete union. It's like,
tickety-boo. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
So the recipe's working.
Yeah, so Sean and I wrote some songs, and that's how we came out with Fire and Gasoline, and then we did a follow-up album, and that's my goal. My goal this summer is to come out of this tour with enough money to make another record.
Nice.
So that's what's important. To me, these days, it's about the process, right? It's just about the creative process and about doing it and to just do it and keep going. It's just I'm having probably more fun now than I did back years ago because there isn't this giant record company pressure to have hits, and so we can just make the records we want to make, right?
Yeah. And so the new one, Diamond Baby Blues, came out in March, right? Mm-hmm. It's a fairly new release. I got to hear Diamond Baby. You sing that. That is very hooky. That's going to be in my brain for like the next year. That's a really cool song.
Well, thank you. I like to write memorable songs. So, for me, it's all about, you know, we might toss around five or six ideas, but it's the one that where my brain goes, that I can write something to. Yeah. And that's the one I'll spend the time working on. So,
It's funny to watch. So I know my husband had a massive crush on you. He still talks about Kerrang. Your Kerrang pictures, he probably still has some of them around the house. But I see the reaction, the response you get from the men who are just like, you are the metal queen to them still. How does that feel? I mean, to see their faces light up.
Well, it's been a thing for me to wrap my head around and make peace with throughout my life. I think, you know, years ago when everybody was younger, myself included, it was more of just a, they were infatuated with this idea or this image of me. But I'd like to think as we've all gotten older and my audience has matured that it's more of just an honorary title, and that they admire my ability to sing and write songs and just be, you know, a pioneering Canadian female rocker.
And how did that feel? Because there was a very small group, and now you've opened up the door for a lot of women, and there are tons more bands that are female-fronted bands. And I know there were probably some challenges. Do you think it hurt you or helped you being a female back in the day? Or is there any experiences you want to share about that?
Well, like I said in one of the other interviews, yes and no. Because there were so few female hard rockers back when I started, we were treated somewhat as a novelty. And so people wanted to talk to you, but then I always felt like they were out there with a notepad when I was performing live going, can she actually pull this off? Can she actually sing? And I know that on my sixth album, Some Girls Do, I remember being in my manager's office and he was talking to somebody on the phone from the record or whatever. And they were like, and he's going, well, she wrote it. She wrote the song. And I went, what is that? And he said, well, they're asking who wrote the hit for you. And I was like, I'm on my sixth album, and people still don't realize that I actually write my own material. Yeah. That was a bit disconcerting for me. So I would like to think that at this point in the game, after 14 albums and a 30-year career, that people finally go, okay, actually Lee Aaron does write her own material.
You play multiple instruments, guitar, you play piano, I read you played saxophone at some point.
I would not say that I'm a maestro on any one of them, but, you know, neither were the Beatles. I write well enough to write songs, and that's what's important to me. Yeah. So that's how I, you know, do my craft, right, and get the ideas out. But,
I hope we get to see you on the road. I hope you make enough money to make another album, because I'm loving what I've heard on the last two releases at this point. So thanks so much for being here today, coming on Talking Metal. Thanks for a great show, and we hope to have you back on soon.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Go get a chance to find your band. We'll be right back.
Cover of Deep Purple, Glenn Hughes era Deep Purple song, covered Ill Use. And like I said, we just saw Glenn do a set of Deep Purple in New York City. So good. If you have a chance to see Glenn Hughes out in tour, definitely check him out. Check him out. He's great. He's great live. So good. And thanks to Lee Aaron for joining us on Talking Metal. Thanks for Heavy Montreal for having Lee Aaron play and having us up there at the festival this year. It's always a ton of fun. I want you guys to support us by using our Amazon links. You can go to talkingrock.net or talkingmetal.com, and in the show notes, in any blog post, actually, you will find, just about any blog post, you will find links. And if you're in Canada, the UK, or the United States, there are specific links you can use to link through to Amazon and do your purchasing there. Buy shit, and we get a small percentage back on that, and it's working, guys. Listen, I got like $40 last month for people using our Amazon links. I appreciate that. Any little bit helps, definitely. If you want to buy a t-shirt, you can use our PayPal account to send me some money. Send me $20, I'll send you out a t-shirt. All right, and yeah, I think to end it, let's go to one of our Patreon people. I just sent you a Mr. Jacobson in Sweden. I just sent you out a t-shirt, size medium. I hope you got it. I don't know if it's Jens or Jans. He spells his name J-E-N-S. I don't know how they pronounce that in Sweden, but Jans Jacobson, maybe? I'm not sure. Who knows? But anyways, here's what he says. Thought you'd give you my shirt size and address. You did. Thank you, Mr. Jacobson. The t-shirt is on the way. It's been a great summer here in Sweden. It's been a great summer here in Sweden. Warm weather and lots of great music. I attended the Sweden Rock Festival this year for the first time in years. That's cool, man. I've had numerous Talking Metal listeners were at that show, so or festival, I should say. And you go on to say, it was great. Headliners were Ozzy, Maiden, and Priest. That's just incredible. Maiden, great as always, a 5 out of 5. Priest, 4 out of 5. Ozzy, unfortunately, 2 out of 5. Well, Zach is horrible. You can't be shredding on the old Sabbath songs. But if you take Maiden out of the count, I must say Glenn Hughes was the best out of all, even though he played at noon. Shared second by Baroness. Okay, cool. Brings us back to Baroness. We heard about them earlier in the podcast. And In This Moment, first time in Sweden. Never heard them before. Wow, that's cool, man. You know, we used to have In This Moment on the show frequently back in the day. And somebody else emailed me, another Talking Metal listener, that they were great at the Sweden Rock Fest. So very cool. Maria and Chris of In This Moment, old friends of the show, haven't spoken with them in years. Love the Black Wedding song they have out. It's been getting a lot of airplay, like on FM radio stations here in New Jersey in the United States, with Halford doing guest vocals. Anyways, Mr. Jacobson goes on to say, my next show will probably be the Pumpkins United Tour, who are coming to my hometown in a couple weeks. Cool, Smashing Pumpkins. Third, I'll see it in just 1 year. Love it. I'm not sure who he's talking about there. Anyways, 2 music requests. Orphaned Land. Yeah, I know those guys out of Israel, right? The Cave and Visigoth. Steel and Silver, both great. Besides music, podcast is all I listen to this day, and yours is one of them. Oh, cool. Thank you, man. All right, so I tell you what, we'll play a little Orphaned Land to take us out here, as requested from our friend, Mr. Jacobson in Sweden, and thank you so much for all your support on Patreon, Mr. Jacobson. This is Orphaned Land, I believe out of Israel, right? We've played them before, and they're going to take us out on today's episode of Talking Metal, epic episode. Thanks to Emily for doing the interview with Lee Aaron. Thanks to all you guys for leaving voicemails. We're killing the voicemail message thing for now. Just not, I can't afford it, to be quite honest. So that's that. Please support us. Throw us a PayPal donation. Buy a t-shirt for $20 using the PayPal account. Or if you give us a $5 a month pledge or more on Patreon, I will mail you a t-shirt, all sizes, small through 3XL, currently available. All right? That'll do it for now. This is Orphaned Land on Talking Metal. We'll be right back.
know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.